Amen. Good morning, everyone. Whoa, lost half my notes already. Hey, morning. It's wonderful. And thank you, guys. Yesterday, we had a great time, and a lot of connections were made. And somebody suggested, you know, you guys are a good host church. You should do this once a month. It's like, okay, if Merlin wants to make roast beef next time, well... I was thinking maybe we should do it like on Jaywalkers. If you have food and Jaywalkers, the people will come, you know, kind of thing. But it was great. But thank you, Wendy, for sharing that. Nolan turned 30 today. It's like, oh, all these kids from Kids Club. Well, I remember when he was in grade 5 at Sifton, like, oh, man. But anyways, we're glad you're here. That's awesome. And I want to thank my sous chef here and wife. That's good. We were going to have help yesterday, and the help got sick. So we were hustling. It's all good. Amen. We'll do it again. We certainly will. There's a lot of good connections made. We had the Brzezinski here from Edmonton who, and I've shared this with you before, we got to hear them in Olds, but she's Métis, and she's been on the Native Council of Alberta and this and that and the next thing. She was with the Truth and Reconciliation Committee down in Ottawa. She has a wonderful story to share. So we are going to do a 780 meeting. I don't know, maybe it'll happen here. And everybody's welcome. You don't have to be a pastor. Everybody is welcome to come. What that'll look like, I'll let you know. And also, don't forget that next week is the conference, right?
No, the week after.
The week after. Okay, well, it ain't that far away. We got to remember to show up. All right, it's Zoom, but next year's in Toronto, I believe. So, yeah. Anyways, we're glad. One day at a time. We don't know what everything's going to look like. But it's after Easter. Now what? And the disciples were wondering, what on earth are we going to do now? And they went into the locked doors. And then Jesus just showed up anyways. He didn't need a master key or nothing. He's just the master. So he just comes right in. Amen. So I want to share this with you this morning, just from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Not that I have already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, when we look at this, and it's after Easter, we're not going to forget about Easter and what happened there. We're not going to forget about that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We're not going to forget about the way that, you know, when we look back and we see God's hand upon us, we're going to remember that. Like, yeah, God walked me through that. God helped us through this. But we don't know how it's all going to happen in the future. We just know that God will lead us. That's all there is to it. And so, you know, Paul uses the words like he's straining. Straining toward that which is ahead. And twice he uses this here, I press on. We're pressing on. Sometimes we don't know where we're pressing on to, but we're pressing on. You know, we've been trying to reduce in our house and get rid of stuff we don't need and stuff that we don't, you know, it's like we can't stay in this house for another 100 years. So we're trying to get rid of it. Every now and then you come across some awesome things. One of the things I came across... As you know, I taught SIFT in grade 5 for 20 years, religious ed, as they called it. I called it Christian ed. And So every year they would do something for me at the end of the year. And I came across the group from 1994. They gave me a little diary. Like, that's 28 years ago. Those kids are 40. I would not recognize them if I did see them. But they would all write a little thank you. And so, okay, I you can't make this stuff up. This is an actual from the thing. It says, "Dear Pastor Casson, thank you for a great year. I enjoyed learning something more about how the world began every Wednesday." Yeah, you know, I don't care if you're the world's greatest comedian, you can't write that kind of thing up. "Dear Pastor Casson, thanks for a great year. I really enjoyed the year. Sorry you don't have my picture, but I was at the doctor getting my nose stitched up." Priceless, eh? "Dear Pastor Casson, thanks a bunch for the totally awesome year of fun and religion." I like that. "I enjoyed it a lot. I enjoyed those puzzles you put on the board and gave prizes for. Thanks a bunch." It's like, "Here, Pastor Casson, thank you for teaching me about the Bible, because when I went to church, I crawled under the benches and I never listened." I got a whole book of them. It's like, "Thank you, Lord, for those memories. They're precious memories." And yeah, we had a great time when we were allowed to have prayer and we were allowed to have Bible reading in the school. And actually have Bibles right in the classroom. Wow. So, yeah. You know, as we move into Acts and we read the stories of Acts and the apostles and what all the things they went through, we were in awe at what they went through, but not only what they went through, but the way that God led them through everything. And but I want to just share with you this morning, you got a story as well. You might never have been in that type of a prison, you might never went through what Paul went through, but you have a story. Never underestimate what God has done in your life or what God is going to do in your life. You have your own story. And just like you come across some of these things, it's like they're just too precious. Like, God, I remember that. And I'm thankful that I was able to have prayer with these grade fivers for 20 years. God, you have to be God. I can't be there for them, but you're always there for them. And so there's a story there. So Paul said he was straining toward what is ahead and pressing on. How can we do that? Well, I think a good way for us to start is in our relationships, if nothing else, between one another and with God. Romans chapter 12, 9 to 13. "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love." Excuse me. "Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need, and practice hospitality." Well, we're going to do that a little bit this morning because we've got our potluck and there'll be some hospitality going on. I don't know if you noticed, but most of our worship team has a bottle of water up here because it's so dry. For whatever reason, it is really dry up here. So God has led us and will continue to lead us. It was a privilege also to have our fellowship pastor, Glenn Forsberg, with us in Lois yesterday. There were a few women here, but that didn't harm the men's fellowship at all. Yeah, it was good. There are some roses amongst us. But, you know, a few weeks ago, or a month ago, or whenever that was, we were in Fort McMurray to do we have Heritage Awards. And anybody who's been in the ministry 40 years or more, well, I've been 44, but we start to honor them. And because we're doing Zoom for convention, we did this up in Fort McMurray. They're the ones that are looking after the whole convention. So this year we gave a Heritage Award to Glenn and Lotus. And so it was a privilege for Jamie and I to be there and just share the scripture that we're supposed to give honor to whom honor is due and share with these dear people. But there was some interesting testimonies given. And, you know, home group, you're going to hear this again, but bear with me. Just some of the miracles that God did. There was a guy working up in the oil fields, and he had a small, I don't know, it was an industrial operation, some kind of a machinery, heavy-duty machinery. And he was working up there in the oil fields, and he was driving this thing, and it fell into the water. The earth gave way, and it fell into the water. It fell maybe this way. So the door was on the ground. He can't get out of there. The water is filling up. The only thing that he has in the front is an opening that's oval. And so they introduced this guy. Do you remember what his name was? Doesn't matter. You wouldn't know him anyways, probably. But he was sitting behind us. So I looked behind us, and he's a big man. And he thought, I'm going to die. Because there's no way I'm fitting through that little oval in the front of this cat or whatever it was. And all of a sudden, he felt propelled right through that. He got on the other side, and he says, I need to get right with God. So he ended up in Glenn's office on Main Street there in Fort McMurray. And he's sitting right by. And then I look at that guy, there is no way. That was just the power of God. And Marion, you talk about angels. There's angels, yeah. You know, amazing thing. Another guy, if you go out of north, out of the main part of McMurray, I think it's called Ironwood, isn't it? That one. So there was a young man who, it was a summer day, so he had the windows on his car open. And he had a pistol in his car. And he went up to the end of Ironwood because he was going to commit suicide. And he put the gun to his head. And when he put the gun to his head, he heard, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And he put the pistol down. And he says, I got to find the source of this. And so he was listening. It was bagpipes. You know, if God can speak through a donkey, he can speak through bagpipes. Okay. So he found the source of this, and he went to that house, and he made note of it. And it was a guy, just like we have here, a guy in town that does the bagpipes for funerals and weddings and stuff like that. The guy was just practicing out in his backyard. So then another guy ends up in Pastor Glenn's office. Yeah, I got to get right with God here, you know. And so the way that God has led is totally awesome. So anyways, a year later, this guy goes to knocks on the door, and the guy answers. He said, yeah. He says, I just want you to know you saved my life. You know, never belittle your story. You might be in the backyard playing bagpipes. You might be doing whatever you're doing, but you don't know how God's going to use your giftings and abilities and maybe your lack of giftings to minister to somebody else. You just don't know. It's just, you know, so often we just got to let God be God. Even as we head into a little bit into the unknown of what's going to happen in the future in regards to how God is leading us and where he's leading us, we'll just let God be God. And it's amazing. He's a miracle working God still today. Yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the same. And so never underestimate your story. Just stay focused on God. And be faithful. You just never know. You might be in the backyard singing and you're working in your garden and somebody will find that music to their ear and it'll change their life. Yeah, you just never know how God works through each one of us. Amen. So, we'll go on here to Proverbs chapter 4. Okay. I always get a kick out of how this comes out sometimes. Okay, that's far enough. Okay, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25 to 27. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. So that's just want to challenge you and encourage you this morning to look ahead. Amen. Jamie and I were doing some reminiscing the other night, when we go to look ahead, we look back and we see, well, God has just totally been awesome. I got to tell you a story. This is when we were pastoring in Amisk. Amisk in Cree means beaver. I can tell you this. I've been to Amisk many times. I pastored there for 6 years. I have never seen a beaver there. I've seen Norwegians. I've seen Swedes, but no beavers. So we'd only been there a couple of years, and I get a call, Sam will know this, from St. Anne, Manitoba. Would you candidate for us? I was like, well, I just got here. So I met with the board, and I told them, I had this call from St. Anne, and this is the date they want me to come. And, you know, looking on the calendar, it's like, the bottom line is, I didn't need to be in Amisk anyways. I don't know if you know, we collect preachers everywhere as we go. In Amisk, they had Mel and Del Israelson. They sang together as a team. Mel Israelson, I think he's retired now, but he was an evangelist. Delbert's boys, Paul and Brad, right? They're the Pentecostal Assemblies in Saskatchewan. And then they had Phil Nardine, who... God is able. He's a head honcho for that organization of all those churches. And then they had Bill and Esther Schutz. And Bill has passed away now. But, you know, so they, when they would come back to Amist for a Sunday, it's like, I don't even need to be there. And that's fine, because this is what they produced. You know, they produced these awesome ministers. And so they said, Ralph, if you want to go, you go. It's like, okay. So all I can see is God's hand in this, because we were to preach in St. Anne on a Saturday night. So do you think we would go Friday halfway? No. We get up Saturday morning and we start driving. Of course, it's an hour and a half less than from here or whatever. And so we're getting through Saskatchewan, and the car starts to choke. So it was a Russian car, a Lada. So you need to have the miracle hand of God upon you if you're driving that thing. So I always thought it was really neat that, you know, a toolkit came with this car. Now I'm beginning to understand why there's a toolkit with this car. Because, so I told Hilda, I said, you know, get us something to eat. And we prayed. And it's like, I'm not a mechanic. So I opened the hood and I took off the distributor cap and cleaned all of the points or the posts off, all four of them. And then I knew by then I had the car long enough that you gotta carry extra parts. So I put the new rotor on there, and then set points. So I'm looking at this. This is how I'm going to set. They got all the gauges and everything for me. But I was like, I've never done this before. So I thought I'll set the points, and then if nothing else, I will regap the spark plugs. So this car, you have to have everything perfect or it's not going to work. So I put the distributor cap back on, and Hilda came back in with some lunch, and it's like, Lord, I don't even know how to get a hold of these people. We don't even have any cell phones or nothing back then. And so we prayed again, and I said, Lord, this has got to start up. And praise the Lord, it started up. And we got to St. Anne's in time. We got to the ring road and around Winnipeg there. That's years ago, of course. And we pulled off, and Hilda changed, and I changed my clothes, because we got to get there. So I don't know whether we got there, what time we got there. We got there in time for church anyways. We had a really good service, that Saturday night. Now, you got to remember, these are former Catholics who are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. This was not the quietest service I'd ever been in my life. So we had a great time, and they put us in a house, and I don't know if there's such a thing as a king waterbed, but it was at least a queen waterbed. I don't know. Hilda and I thought we were drifting apart all night, but it was big. And we went, Sunday morning was okay. It was a different crowd and different things, but I think we both came to the conclusion that this was not a place we were going to be pastoring at. So, but here's the deal. I had to get back because Monday I had to be at Covenant Bay in Pigeon Lake for kids camp. So I had, we had a van and a trailer. I'd backed that up. So I was to be sports director and look after the canteen. So I did that all ahead of time. I got somebody to look after the canteen, but all the food that was in the house, because it's summertime, you don't want to leave it outside at all. Chocolate bars will melt and everything. So we had that all backed up, and then, of course, before we leave, we pray again. Like, Lord, we have to get back to Amos because we're supposed to be in Pigeon Lake tomorrow morning. It's like, that's just insane. I would never do that again. But we got back. And we got to kids camp, and everything went well. They got this frisbee golf now below us there in Jubilee Park. Well, we had frisbee golf way back then. I made a bunch of signs, and we had a whole pile of frisbees. And basically, you put the sign on the tree numbers, you hit the tree, and then you move on to the next hole. And then we had that, I don't know if you guys ever had that, it's box hockey, 3x6. And you got a hole on each end for the goal, and then you got 3 2x4s. The ones on either side have two holes in, and then the one in the middle has a hole in the middle. And you just use broken hockey sticks, which used to be a dime a dozen all over the place. So and the guys, we had two of those. They would play that 24 hours a day if we could do that. So we did that. Then at the end of the the end of the week, the director comes to me, he says, Ralph, I'm not going to direct next year. You have to direct kids camp. So that was my start, you know. But I just, when I look back, I think, oh, God, if anything would have gone wrong, like nothing would have worked out. But God, despite our failures, despite our maybe misunderstanding and not calculating things the way we should, he's still there. He's still there, and he will see us through, and he will continue to see us through. And I'm going to close with this scripture. Paul says, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. We do have an obligation. And then he goes on to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Do you want to get the box? And he's not ashamed of the gospel, and we've got nothing to be ashamed of. It's the power of God. Amen. So be encouraged. Never underestimate your story. God is for you, and he'll continue to be for you. Is there anything in there?
No.
All right, let's stand together. We're going to take a quick break with prayer. And Lord, you know all the requests that should have been in that box, but they're in your box. They're in your email. They're in your inbox. And there's people here today, Lord, with requests on their heart. You see our hearts. You're a God of heart. We thank you, Lord, for answered prayer, your continual blessing upon us, and your leading. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.